America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Yeah, that's right, everybody. It's Mole Patrol. It's the conversation all about season two of The Mole here on Reality TV Wrap-Ups. I'm Josh Wigler, and I'm just hanging out with my friends, hanging out with my two friends, my colleagues here on the hunt to find the mole. Jessica Leese, Brooklyn Zed. Jess, how's it going?
I'm great, Josh. You know, we voted you the most trustworthy person, so we're going to do the hanging out.
Is that true? Did you really?
Yeah you're going to have to walk face down, and it's going to look really scary.
Yeah, I don't like that. Can I not have that role?
Too late. We voted.
Ah, man.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, for nothing, too, by the way.
For literally nothing.
Walking down for absolutely no reason. Anderson Cooper, so clever. Just need four people who just want to hang out today. Ugh. Got him. Got him, Andy Coops. Classic prank.
No opulence for them.
No, no. Classic prank from Andy Coops as we are talking season two, episode four of The Mole, streaming on Netflix. We are back after a 1 week Yadis, we appreciate your patience. Again, this is better than it was in the live weekly, Jess, back in the day. 1 week isn't so bad.
Yeah, not so bad. It's better than 6 months.
It won't be 6 months again. We're back on our weekly nonsense. We've got the plan. We're going to do the Patrol Zed. It's happening. We're not going to cause anybody to have to like rip any pages out of any books.
Probably. I mean, far as we know, I haven't read your notes. I don't know.
Would you like to?
Yeah, I
just want to borrow them real quick.
I just borrow it real quick.
Listen, all is fair in the rules of engagement. Here on this podcast, Zed and Jess are permitted to lie, use guile and deceit wherever they can.
Josh, point of clarification. If I don't want to use guile, can I use Blanca?
You could use Blanca. The thing is like I would love to use guile because famously guile's theme goes with everything. I don't know if you knew that Guile's theme. Zed, do you know Guile's theme?
This is Street Fighter?
Yeah, Guile from no. Street Fighter. Because Patrick says I will use Guile in his pursuit to find the mole. And Guile, of course, is the flat-topped American hero from Street Fighter who goes Sonic Boom or Sonic Backbreaker. And was played by Jean-Claude Van Damme in Street Fighter the movie. Ralph Julia's final film.
I know who that is.
Yeah.
All-American Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And so Patrick says, when they're like calling him out, like, what are you doing, man? You can't just rip out the page. He says, I will use guile to win this game. And so Guile's theme song.
A different fighter.
Yeah, Guile's theme song famously goes with everything.
I love that you have this queued up.
Can you hear this?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Boy, that's
goes with everything.
That tattoo is a choice.
Yeah. Yeah. Goes with everything.
Or is it like face paint? Is it like drawn on?
He draws it on fresh every morning.
Yeah. I think that might be right. I think he might do that. I would probably use E Honda to win the mole.
Is that the new electric car?
No. No, no. He has the thousand hand slap. It's really, really good. Very cheap, cheap move. But what can I say? Cheap player. Don't hate the, I don't know. Anyway, we don't have to talk about Street Fighter this whole time, but I certainly could, Jess.
Yes, could go I.
There. Jess was telling us before we came on here that you have introduced your son to Ryu's special powers.
Yep. And we're pretending to throw Hadoukens at each other.
It's incredible.
In our apartment. And it was wonderful.
Best parent of all time. Jessica Lees, everybody.
Crushing it. Mother of the year here.
You really are doing the Lord's work here. All right. We're talking episode 4. We put this off long enough. Of course, you can always get it in feedback. MolePatrol at robhaswebsite.com. Send it in. You can also tweet at us at Haymaker Hattie. That's Jess at Hard Rock Hope. That's Zed. I'm at Round Howard. But don't at me about the mole. You can talk to me about anything else, but I don't know what's going on. No spoilers to tell me anything. I'm not going to be thrilled if you do that. Everyone's been cool. Let's keep being cool. And let's talk about episode 4. It's been long enough. I really enjoyed this one. Maybe Zed, because it had been, I'd really missed the mole. We took the week off, and then coming back, it was like a warm hug. I needed this. I needed to get back to this. Yeah.
To get back to the dunking on Patrick that is most of this episode.
The dunking on Patrick, but also like Bill putting a butt dent into a car.
That's so funny.
You know, like,
I think not enough attention is paid to that moment, to be perfectly honest.
It was spectacular. He butt dents a car. Yeah.
Butt denting like a psycho.
Yeah. Butt denting like a psycho. Yeah. This is just a Venetian adventure here this week on the mole. So let's not deprive anybody any further. Let's hop into it. Zed, you've got the wheel on the recap. Kick us off to day 10 in San Moritz.
Day 10 in San Moritz. But first, the previously on the mole gives it really short shrift to Al's moment, his big moment from the previous episode, because they Frankenbited into, I put a lot of thought into this exemption to Katie. Like they cut, you know, they took 20 minutes of the episode and made it one sentence. And I just felt like that, you know, was not an accurate depiction of what happened previously on the
right board. Yeah.
But we are going to come to find that Al is the trusted player after Dorothy is sad that her coalition partner Lisa has been voted out.
Rob, she doesn't seem like terribly sad about it. She seems more like punch drunk about it, Jess. I think because like probably she was as surprised as any of us that it was Lisa.
Yeah, well, it's hard for me to tell because I watched this last week when I had time, and then I watched it again before we came on, except I watched it at 1.5 speed.
Yeah.
So everybody looked punch drunk. So I can't really tell exactly how gobsmacked she was and how much of it was just me watching them talk very fast.
Yeah.
Dorothy is not a super emotional player.
Right.
And I think that's something that makes people suspicious of her, is that she seems calculating.
Also that she just randomly produced the number 90.
Yeah.
I think the answer of all the numbers in the universe is 90 could be just try it. Is the answer 90? Yeah, actually it is.
Pick a number between 9 and 1 billion.
Yeah. Okay, mole. Like, okay, Dorothy, you are absolutely the mole. Like, all right, sweet. Way to go. Now we just have to like sweat through the next several episodes pretending you're not the mole. Great. Fun.
Certainly a lot of people think that at this point.
Yeah.
Rob hates that the mole is going to lie to his face, which is sort of the premise of the game that you signed up for, my friend.
Yes, I try not to say this word too often on a podcast. I like to try and keep it like PG-13 at the most risque whenever possible. But I have to use this word when it comes to Rob saying that he hates that the mole plays dirty. Bruh. Bruh. I mean, come on, bruh, like this is the mole.
He, to be fair, this guy frequently gets called bruh. Like he's that kind of dude.
Yeah.
He's got the Blink 182 hair and whatnot.
Not for nothing, Zed. You mix these words around on Rob and it's you get bro.
True.
You don't get bruh.
No.
Different things.
Well, depending on how you pronounce, if you bruh, like you know. You can kind of.
But it's a different vibe.
It is a different vibe.
Different people.
It is a different vibe.
Bro or bro.
Yeah. Is this the appropriate time to talk about The Fly?
Yeah, of course. The movie with Jeff Goldblum?
Well, of course.
Yeah. Because in that case, it's probably not. But like, also, I could be convinced to go down a fly tangent with you right now.
Yeah. Well, you know what happens when we start talking about Jeff Goldblum. We get a little bit too uncomfortable about my 13-year-old self and things that I've discovered about myself watching things like The Fly. So let's put a pin in that. We can come back to it at some other point if we have time in the podcast. But let's talk about Rob killing them. Because this was, I couldn't understand like why he was talking in all these different directions. Like, do you not know where the camera is? Is it really that dark in there? And then all of a sudden he's like, bam, got it. Hmm. And it was very strange.
I think I missed that he killed a fly.
Oh, you just thought he was like that.
Yeah, kind of. I thought he was just like, you know, enthusiastically, you know, doing confessional stuff.
No, he was like in and out and he's like, you
bobbing and weaving.
If they've got a boom mic on him, they're not getting good sound.
Hmm.
They don't have time to reshoot these confessionals. They got to take what they can get. Keep moving.
Well, they shoot them all in a utility closet.
Yeah.
They only get the utility closet for so long every episode.
Right. They rented it out. It's expensive. They spent all their budget on their luscious meals that they eat every day.
Luscious meals and pretending to burn everybody's stuff in episode one.
One elaborate stunt at the beginning of the season.
They may not have burned the bags, Zed, but they burned did the burn their whole budget on that prank. And like they gotta be like thanking their lucky stars every time the contestants get a task wrong because they're like, sweet. We've got $30,000 to play with. We need that.
It's back to the crane budget.
Yeah. All right. Can we get the crane again? Why do we keep running? Rob's not happy. And it's like, come on, man. This is the show.
Yeah. He's like, I don't like the premise of this television program I signed up to be on.
So disrespectful.
I wanted to be on one of those shows where they call them alliances instead of coalitions.
I thought that this was actually Mole Island. It's like, no, you're on the wrong show. It's not what we were doing.
Katie says she lied to Patrick and told him she wasn't going to read his journal, but she read his journal.
Oh, man.
And Patrick is still here, and that's what counts at the end of the day. Bottom line, I'm still here.
Yeah, well, let's
for now.
Let's see about that.
Katie should get some extra points for reading the whole thing because
she had a lot of reading to do.
Yeah.
It's like those accelerated reader quizzes that you could take when I was about the time that this show came out, when I was in elementary or middle school, and you got points for reading books, and like the longer books you got more points.
You
got to take the quizzes. So Katie should be getting more points than everybody else.
We got pizzas for reading books, but it was all in the honor system.
I would be such a good reader at this point if that had been our system,
if the reward was pizza. I mean,
they were tiny pizzas. They were personal pan pizzas, but you got one.
Yeah, we got those too.
Why are we talking about this as if this is like a disqualifying of the pizza reward? Like, this sounds great. I love a personal pizza.
Oh, it was great. Except they made a rule that you could only max out at 5 pizzas per month. And they had to put that rule in place because of me.
You've always been a change maker, Jess.
It's true.
From the start.
I feel like your life goal should be that people had to make a rule because of something you did.
Yeah, change pizza policy should be on your bucket list, everyone. This is good.
Change pizza policy.
Yeah.
Be the change in the pizza policy.
Really important things that need to get fixed in this society. Yeah. Let's change pizza policy.
Yeah. I think that's good. Man, I love that. Everyone's got a lot to say. And Patrick, of course, gets the final word there. And it's like, okay, well, the editors have a cruel sense of irony on this episode, for sure.
They do. Yep. It's not subtle, and it's very funny.
I love that.
So we're going to go to our first game of the episode, where we have to choose 5 players, one who is trusted, and 4 people who just want to hang out. these polar opposite things of being trusted or lazy, question mark.
I don't trust the people I hang out with.
Yeah.
Oh, as a rule.
Me neither. Not at all. I don't trust anybody.
No, not you guys. Certainly.
No way. No, definitely not. Definitely not. This was so misleading. So misleading. I am just on the dumb team because I would just like Anderson's really selling this. I just get to like kind of like chill. Yeah, I'd like to be part of that group.
Well, this is a thing that we've talked about a lot where you should just like listen to what Anderson is telling you and assume that you are doing the exact opposite of whatever he says.
Yeah. He's like, I think he said this on an episode in this season already by now. He's like, don't you know by now on the mole that if I say it's one thing, it's going to be the opposite thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they are hanging.
He's not wrong. Like, it is like, you know, like literally if you want to just be hanging out, like that is literally what you're going to be doing here. And also trying to run on the wall.
So flinging yourself around on the side of a dam.
Yeah. So they all have to do what? They have to, like, there's four questions, mm-hmm. like, to this combination.
Yeah, one of the questions chest. Is, what makes this challenge different from all other challenges?
Yes. The four
Which
questions.
The youngest right. player yeah. has to mm-hmm. ask.
Yeah.
One of the youngest challenge. Player was Bob. And
Yeah. Who's the curious one? Yeah.
Who's the wise one and the wicked? And
loved the four questions. Anyway, we could really go in there if we wanted
Let's go on this tangent now.
Yeah, no, that's good. We're fine. We'll do that at another time. We'll come back to it someday.
I'm sure we will. Definitely will.
I'm not going to start singing, but it's on the tip of my tongue, and I'm really just holding back right now. I won't do it.
So they're at this dam, and I think they're still at Switzerland, so maybe it's pronounced Maloja. I'm guessing you pronounce the J in Swedish.
Swedish?
Yeah.
They speak Swedish in Switzerland?
Yes.
Okay.
Dutch.
I don't know. I don't know how you pronounce this.
It's French or German.
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
I think in either case, you'd pronounce the J.
Yeah. Well, you're not just going to pretend it doesn't exist.
You would if you were speaking Spanish.
Well, yeah, no, you would just pretend it was something. It sounds later. Different, mm-hmm. but it's still there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the languages that I speak, I would pronounce it Maloja, but I don't think that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in languages we speak, we won't ever pretend that letters don't exist.
Yeah. And in the languages that I speak, I would pronounce it the Maloja. Damn.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're going in for the correct dialogue.
It's right there. Yeah. You know, it's been a minute since I've done it. Damn. Wasn't even any chicken involved. We just did it. So this is for $35,000.
Yes, which is locked in a chest with a padlock on it. Yeah. And the answer to unlocking the padlock is doing four math questions that are just casually, you know, sticky tacked to the side of this dam with flags indicating where they're located. And the four players who are going to try and answer these questions are Bribs, Heather,
yep.
Olavia and Darwin.
Yeah. While I was on vacation, I ate Bribs.
Very Did good. You know?
Very tasty. Very, very good. So they have to go. You have to like go down the side of the dam. You can only look at one thing. There are all these like they're very simple math equations meet trivia. So like Bribs has to do what is the number of players knocked into the water by Little Jane minus the number of players knocked into the water by Little John. I feel like this is designed for failure, this whole challenge.
It's complicated. Like there's easily a chance of getting these questions wrong if you're just reading them off a piece of paper and answering them, as indicated by the fact that Al has the opportunity to answer all four questions and still does not get the right answer. Then there's the repelling factor, which is a whole other clearly difficult aspect that gets added in for the sake of television. Yeah.
There are challenges that I feel like they want them to get the money. And then there are challenges. I feel like they want to get good television.
Yes.
And this is one of those ones where it's always fun on shows like this to put people in a harness and throw them off of something. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're here for. We don't really care about the questions.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's fine. I also just, this is, so Al is the trusted one. A lot of faith being put into Al. Al has a hat that says congratulations on it. I noticed this week.
I did not notice that.
I thought it said conquistadores.
Does it say that? I thought it said congratulations on it.
I think congratulations is better.
Yeah, I thought it said congratulations. Let me see if I can't get to it quick.
Yeah, he's wearing a Mets hat. That's surprising.
This was definitely not a Mets hat unless it was a Mets hat that said congratulations on it.
Yeah, no. There is no Mets hat that says congratulations.
It's very old, at least. Yeah, if it exists, it's from the 80s. 1986. Yeah, yeah. Let's see. Can I find the hat? We're getting close. You're right. It says conquistadores, but I like my version better.
I like
it says
your version
congratulations. I want a hat that says congratulations. I'm manifesting this. I'm putting this out into the universe. Somebody out there,
we need to come up with some new patron gifts for Pusher Recaps.
Yeah.
The next one just be a hat
on your 1 year anniversary.
Yeah, I mean, the 1 year anniversary of the Pusher Recaps patron program is coming up soon. We could get congratulations hats for the $15
patron. I'm sure you could find party hats that say congratulations on them.
Did you? Oh, wow. That's actually a great idea. Party hats for the 1 year anniversary. I love that. I think that's fun.
It feels very on brand for Pusher Recaps.
Because it all, are you saying because it like moonlights as a dunce cap is kind of what you're saying?
No.
Clown hat.
But here on Reality TV Wrap Ups, at the moment.
We're all family. It's fine.
And next in the family, Heather is going to rappel down and she is going to get the question, what is the day of the month Al was born minus the day of the month Bribs was born?
Yeah, man, it's like this challenge was designed for Bribs and Al to do this one. Can you imagine if either of them had gone to that one and then they got it wrong? Very fishy and awkward.
Well, and I think they do get it wrong.
They do.
Because I think Al changes the number and then that's incorrect.
Yes. He's going to end up changing Bribs's number. He's going to change, I believe, Heather and Darwin's numbers too.
Yeah.
I think Olavia, who just guesses, she just guesses two because she's initially trying to go for green. Like the yellow one ends up being like the really like hard to reach clue for everybody. Mm-hmm. Like the people who like strive for yellow, like have to, like Heather tries to go yellow. It doesn't work out. And then Olavia like really has to like reach to get to yellow. But first she's trying to go to green. And she just guesses two. The question is number of players who swung from the bridge in the first challenge minus number of players who hit the bullseye. And she just guesses two, and I think she's got it.
This is the week for doing that.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna guess blindly and get the right answer.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of mole-ish behavior. Is that the twist this season, Zed? Are there multiple moles? Multiple moles?
Multiple. Yeah. You figured it out. You cracked the code.
Got him.
The next betrayal is multiples.
Yes. Yes.
So Darwin's going to go last, and he is allowed to check all the answers. He can go to all if he wants to and is capable of doing so within his 10-minute time limit. He can go to as many flags as he wants to go to and check the questions and answers, because the players are not allowed to communicate once they get down. They have to like stay off in their little corner until they radio their answer back up to Al, and then they can go talk with the people that have already come down.
Yeah.
And the question that Darwin gets to that no one has seen yet is, What is the age of the second player executed, which was Allie, minus the age of the first player executed, which was Bob?
I needed the refresher. I was like, who was that again?
But he's so forgettable. Like, I forget him all the time, and yeah. I've watched this season how
also,
many times.
How was that yeah. guy 25? He looked like he was 48.
Oh, no! It's a thing, right? We're like things in the past, a 25-year-old mm-hmm. looks 100, you know?
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
It couldn't be me, you know?
Yeah.
So Al doubts Bribbs's answer for blue. He thinks Bribbs said 4. Al thinks it's 0.
Yeah.
He goes with Darwin's answers for green and yellow. Darwin and Olavia had given different answers for the
Andy
yellow
Coops
question.
Really pushes him on this too, right? Who do you trust, Darwin? You trust Olavia? Who do you trust more? And also, like, let's talk about this in earshot of all of the other players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is not a trust thing. It's like, who do you think has the right answer? It's not.
Yeah, you saw Olavia not get close to any of the questions. Yeah,
you're not handing your child to one of them,
right?
Right. And now here's all the questions, so you can just pick the answers for yourself.
You don't need to
ignore
trust any
the
of
work
people.
That these other people all did.
Yeah. Yeah. So he changes it. He changes a couple things. He chooses Darwin. And then he has to go to this part on the dam where he has to rappel down. He has to walk down, and like the show spends 30 seconds watching Al like slow walk down the side of the dam. And it is like, it is such a waste of time. I have
it's
in my notes.
Quite frightening.
This is such a waste of time. It must have been terrifying.
And that's what Anderson says when he describes it, but he's like so not concerned.
Well, yeah, he doesn't have to.
Anderson
do it.
Gives 0 F's this season.
Yeah,
about anything,
I know. I love
clearly.
It so much.
The only thing that was missing is him having some sort of food product in that moment.
As like, he says it,
To just like sardonically chew on a sandwich.
Yeah, he's like, takes it, rips a big chunk off a croissant. He's like, it's actually pretty frightening.
Yeah, exactly. Crunchy mouth sounds from Anderson Cooper.
So I have in my notes, when Al is going down, he's like, I love you, Robin. I'm like, oh, Robin is the Bernadette of this season.
Yes. Oh, my God. No, there is a Bernadette reference in this episode. We'll get there. I have in my notes, Al's heart rate must be skyrocketing right now.
Like through the roof. Yeah.
Thing that's not part of the challenge, Zed.
Yeah. He'd never have made it down to not unlock the chest with $35,000.
No. Bad.
But knowing this about Al, I feel like this should just put a heart rate monitor on him all the time.
All the time. Mm.
Yeah.
So they fail this challenge. Darwin is suspicious that Heather got Bribbs's birthday wrong.
Because they're always together, those
they're
two.
Always together, and if anyone would know his birthday, it would be Heather.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know either of your birthdays. And I feel like we've hung out way more than they have.
That's something
I know. Josh's birthday is March 11th.
Yeah, Jess, that's something you have in common with Eric Divestein. forgetting my birthday. By the way, get ready to say happy birthday to Eric Divestein. It's coming up.
Are you sure?
Yeah, 100% sure. Yeah, I've had it in my calendar for many days. Depending on when this podcast drops, you may want to say it today. I don't know. Is it Wednesday? Then yeah. Go wish him a happy birthday.
Happy this
birthday,
podcast Eric. Exists out of time, Josh. Yeah. It is always true. Eric's birthday, and it is never Eric's birthday.
That's a good point. It's a good point. Very good point.
Oh, well, if it's Wednesday, happy birthday to my brother. Also.
Hey, look at this.
Birthdays.
Whoa, famous birthday. I'm not doing it.
But no gifts for the players here on the mall. They did not earn $35,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
She says, this is as close as you're going to get to it in this chest at my feet.
What a turd. He like has this chest of money that's filled with just like stacks, fat stacks of cash, Jess. And he's just like kind of like kicking it. And he's like, he may as well just like be like nuzzling it like a cat. Like he's just like
swimming in it.
He's like perched on it like an eagle. Like he's just like, yeah, you're so close though. Can't you smell my money? And they're like, damn it, Anderson.
No, he should have done the like Floyd Mayweather thing where he's like flipping through it and like pretending it's a phone. And he could get the Scrooge McDuck thing going on, like just kind of kick his little feet in it.
Yeah.
And then slam it shut in their faces.
Yeah. Oh, he could Julia Roberts them or Richard Gere them, I guess. Like, slam.
Yeah. He could, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids them, zap them with the Ray Zelinsky machine, put them in the chest with all the money, and close the chest. And they could have some sort of silly, whimsical adventure.
Or they could all die. Crushed under cash.
Yeah, that's pretty bleak.
That's not a metaphor for anything.
why do you think they had to take 6 months off? They had to figure out how to shoot around the fact that them died.
They had to get them out of they had to find the doubles. Yeah. They had to get them out of the chest, those that they were able to bring back with the Ray Zelinsky machine. And then others they had to replace in the cast. Is some very important behind the scenes intel that you're all getting here on
how we ended up with all the Charlies and Bernadettes in their Scooby-Doo masks.
That's true.
Oh man, all right, bye Switzerland.
Yeah, goodbye Switzerland. They're headed to Vicenza, Italy.
Yes.
And along the way, we see that like everybody's relaxing, but Patrick is just outright asking, "So what's your strategy?" And Al has no time for this. He's like,
"Yeah, don't waste your breath.
Let me tell you.
Don't waste your breath.
You're gonna get dead air. You know that sound? You heard that phrase, dead air? That's what you're gonna get.
You know what dead air is? In case anybody doesn't know what dead air is, should we demonstrate what dead air is for people?
It's great podcasting.
All right, mm-hmm. Hang on. We're gonna give you 10 seconds of dead air starting now.
Well, wait. First, I'm gonna ask. Hey, what's your strategy, everyone?
Listen, we're not. If you're gonna ask me about my strategy, you're gonna get dead air. So uncomfortable.
I hate it so much.
Oh my god, that was like almost.
And if you're listening on Overcast, you heard nothing because
that's interesting. Yeah, because somebody cut that out. Yeah,
you can turn that on. Yeah, if you've abandoned Apple Podcasts.
Like then that ruined the joke. The invasions of technology killed our bit.
You lose some.
I guess
it was just a very tiny amount of dead air.
But those who don't have that functionality turned on loved our joke. I'm pretty sure they're like, "Oh, I'm really glad that I spent 10 seconds of my day listening to literally nothing."
I think we all learned
probably 2 hour podcast. We were like, "Let's just pad it out a little more by adding in some silence in the middle."
I can't wait for the RHAP out of context rendition of the dead air bit.
It's going to be our cover of John Cage's 4:33.
It'll just be dot dot dot. Quote
for the smart Jess, team Zed,
and Wiggler. Yeah. So he says dead air. At this point, also, as they're going to Venice, Bill says, "Venice surpasses any dream I've ever had. I'd give my eye teeth to have my wife here for a gondola ride." He's talking about Bernadette, Undercover Charlie, I'm telling you. I also love how he says, "I give my eye teeth."
That's something Charlie would say.
Yeah, I'd give my eye teeth. It's like an app. Yeah, this is the Apple teeth by Apple.
Yeah. We make it to the hotel and Darwin gets a telegram. We were sending telegrams still in 2001, right? That's technology we're all familiar with.
Who do you know? Have your grandparents ever even gotten a telegram?
My great telegram used to get them.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Welcome to Italy. Stop. Hot weather, hotter game. Stop. Ready for another helping? Stop. Yeah. From La Talpa, the mole.
Yes. And everyone's like, okay, whatever. I don't want to look at this.
And they're like, okay. And Patrick's like, well, I'll keep it. This is a great bit of intelligence.
It's a great bit of intelligence is another way of describing when we did dead air. That was a great bit of intelligence. It was very sharp. Very smart pod.
Darwin's like, Patrick's going to analyze that thing for like 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I'm not worried about him now.
Yeah, Patrick's getting wrecked this episode.
I don't think I've ever seen an episode of a show where somebody went from like 100 to zero so quickly.
Yeah, gassed out.
Like, I think the one time, I think the comparison is Roger in Survivor the Amazon.
Yeah, that's a bad one. That's a bad one.
It's like, oh, by the way, we haven't mentioned this ever, but everybody hates him.
Right. Right. But this feels even more out of nowhere because there's track for that in Survivor. And this, like, I feel like There's no, like, I felt like no one was having like an interpersonal issue with Patrick. Mm-hmm. Like the biggest like Patrick problem, Zed, seemed to be that he takes copious notes. So he's like a little bit of a nerd and he was concerned about his journal. And that was like it. Otherwise, everybody else seemed to like enjoy him. And then in this episode, they're like, he's awful. He's terrible.
He's always asking questions. He makes me physically uncomfortable. Right. He's just like, he makes all these crude jokes. And yes. He's always like putting his hands on people.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, those things are definitely reasons to not like the guy.
Sure.
But boy. Well,
where were they a week ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, where were they last week?
Did he just now decide he's going to start telling people dirty jokes? Because it's like, oh, it's week four. I can definitely start telling people inappropriate things now.
A lot can happen on week four-y, as we all know.
The bar for appropriate has shifted.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
We do see when they get to the next secret game, and they help the attractive women. Like, mm-hmm. there are shots of Patrick, like, grabbing this woman's head so that he can, like, kiss her cheek. And it is deeply uncomfortable.
It's not ideal. It's not awesome. It's definitely not great. Yeah.
And he Manuela also deliberately. Yeah, he deliberately gets their names wrong, which is also kind of a weird power play thing.
Yes. It is uncomfortable. Not fantastic. This is the morality game, or as they call it, the flat tire game. Because like, is this a game? It turns out like it's good that they chose to be helpful people on this day, and that by virtue of just doing the right thing and helping with a car, they are going to put $30,000 in their collective account.
I think they should have been fined though, because Bill, as we mentioned, did dent that woman's car his ass.
All of the men file out of the bus immediately when they see these two women. They're like, out of the way. No, you get out of the way. Like, they're definitely like tripping over themselves to help these people. And so like, they're all like trying to like out macho each other, I feel like. And Bill, standing like a psycho, he grabs like the car and lifts it and then like just like kind of falls back and just like butt dents it so hard that there is an imprint of his butt.
Astounding.
And like, I think doesn't he like in passing say like, oh, you should be careful, there's a dent there. I don't know how that got there.
He draws attention to it. Yeah,
he like wombat asses it.
Yeah, that's my move.
Powerful rear. Yeah,
that's my move. Yeah.
Have you ever done that to a car, Josh? Like lifted it up and dented it with your butt?
Who do you think you're talking to? Of course I have. Obviously.
This is how you're able to describe it so eloquently.
Yeah, that's how I know. We know our own. Yeah, wombat ass is it. A whole ass wombat. is able to do this with. It's amazing. This is where Heather's remark, like, by the way, like, we got to cancel Patrick. This is not okay. Like, it's not great. Like, the way he's behaving is no good. So, Patrick, red alert on this guy right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's going under the bus.
They stopped to help both groups, both the two young, attractive women and the one older woman.
Before that, doesn't Katie have like the money line where she's like, by the way, if we see any hot guys without any pants on that need passing them, we're going to need to pull over. Uh-huh. I love Katie so much.
Yeah, it's really great.
She's so funny.
This morality game, though, it feels like it was just designed because they felt sorry for them. They weren't putting enough money in the pot. It's like, mm-hmm. what can we do they'll definitely fall for?
Yeah, 100%. Like, these people suck this season. Like, what are we going to do? Like, they're great characters, but, like, they're losing.
I can't remember if it's Al or Darwin who's like, yep, this is what we do. We just travel around Europe and help people with their flat tires.
So funny. So funny.
Like, you know, when you have a flat tire, who do you ask? The tourists. That's definitely who should help you fix your car.
We don't call AAA.
No. No.
Like Heather does.
Yeah, Mr. Echo. So they get $30,000 for the morality game. That's great. They would have lost money if they had only stopped for the young women.
Mm-hmm. What if they hadn't stopped for anybody?
Help me. Then I think it's a wash. I think then nothing happens.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
Yeah. I got to flat to die. Doing his impression. Oh, could you help me?
Oh my god.
So they make it to their destination after stopping to help fix flat tires across Italy.
Yes.
And the remaining six players who were not part of the hanging out mission are now split up into the smart and dumb teams, a favorite of them all.
Yeah. Katie's upset that she's put on the dumb team. She says, I'm not dumb. I just haven't had an opportunity to pull out my smart card yet.
The smart card.
Yeah. It's how I feel all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just as I after all of these years of podcasting, I haven't had the opportunity yet to present my smart card.
That's what people always say when they get eliminated from a show like Drag Race. It's like, I wish I had so much more to show. Yeah. I wish I had a chance to like show you who I really am.
Yes. They do this on Top Chef all the time. Definitely would have done
next week. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I just never got a chance. It's like, you've been on the show. You were on it.
Right.
Get a chance.
So you got a chance. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Patrick, Myra, and Katie are the dumb team, and Bill, Rob, and Dorothy are the smart team.
Yes.
And then things get complicated. The dumb players. It's like I had to pause and like write these things down step by step.
Did you pause and try to do them?
Yes, some of them.
Yeah. The general shape of what happens here is that there's like 11 different like brain teasers, right? Mm-hmm. And so the dumb team gets to choose which five to unleash on the smart team. If the smart team wipes out and is a TPK here and they're not able to get a single one, then the dumb team, Myra, Katie, and Patrick are going to be exempt. If they get even one question right, then exemption is off the table for the dumb team. And if they get all five correct, they not only get $10,000 for each question, but $50,000 if they get them all, and the smart team will be exempt.
Correct.
And then there's all these brain teasers that like just I don't know, does not really make for the most compelling TV.
I love stuff like this because I can pause it and like play along and answer the questions. Some of them.
Yeah. I spent 45 minutes on that stupid Bob going fishing puzzle and I gave up.
Yeah. Did you? I've never been able to do it before and I did it today. I was very proud of myself.
Yeah. I had algebra. It looked like something out of like Goodwill Hunting. It was all over the page.
Yeah.
The like conspiracy gif with like numbers and graphs and
The woman with them with the numbers going in front of her face. That was me.
This was the part where I was like, okay, cool. Then I could just like kind of put one eye on the mole and the other eye I can just go into the Wario casino for a little while. That was great. So my notes are pretty thin at this point.
How'd you do in the casino?
I swapped with Shut Up Tim. I had like 300 coins and Shut Up Tim was at the top of the leaderboard and I swapped coins with him. So then I shot to the top and then I lost 600 of his coins. I don't even know if he knows this yet.
Well, he's going to learn now.
Breaking news.
Yeah. The only one that I paid attention to was Film Restu, the gigantic word that can only be one word if you unscramble it. Because I love words with friends, so this was fun.
Yeah. Like you're kind of unbeatable in words with friends.
So I got trustfulness, but I was like, it's got to be trustfulness. And I scratched my head, and then I was like, oh, yeah, there's three other letters here. And I couldn't get to mistrustfulness on time. So,
The wild thing to me.
There's this moment where Katie says farts. I don't want to watch this. And that was kind of this feeling.
That was pretty great.
Yeah.
Katie's like, let's go for the exemptions. And she and Myra convince Patrick that they should like try to go for the exemptions, which seems impossible. The idea that the smart team would not get a single brain teaser correct seems pretty unlikely to me. So then you might as well, then I would think you go for getting as much money as you can. Although three exemptions on the table for either team is massive.
Well, one of the things, so like the smart team, they have to get them all right, but they get like two opportunities to answer the question. And so they do get like this like full minute reprieve to regroup, basically.
Yes. They have 30 minutes to answer them all.
Yeah.
And if you get one wrong, you have a minute to try and regroup and come up with a second answer.
So of course they're able to do this
twice,
you know? Yeah. Saves their butt. But the big thing here is that like on like a guess, it feels like Dorothy pulls out $90 for this Bob went fishing problem. Mm-hmm. And then she like she produces mistrustfulness after they were saying stressful minute.
Mm-hmm. Which is not one word.
That's two words, folks.
Smart team.
Although I feel like it's pretty mole-ish to choose all of these brain teasers that were, to me, not terribly hard.
Yeah.
Like the word puzzle where you had to figure out what letter went in the middle.
Yeah.
It's like, this like is...
gasp and purse and
yes.
Yeah.
Like very simple words. Yeah. Yeah,
that's like fourth grade word puzzle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the missing letter is an S.
Yeah.
One of the
way.
Letters they give you on Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Difficult.
Yeah. I also thought the paint in the cubes was pretty bush league too.
When you get the hint that there's no hidden cubes, it seems rather straightforward.
Yeah. But everyone's like, so kind of like, whoa, Dorothy. Hmm.
Yeah. Pick these answers out of thin air. Very suspicious.
Fishy. And I don't think mistrustfulness should be that tricky. That like that you get that. I don't know the Bob's Fishing one, but Jess, you gave up, which suggests to me that like producing 90 as a guess is kind of challenging.
As no, I've guess, got a history yes. degree.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't mathed since the 90s sometimes, so I don't know.
Yeah.
While they're watching or for the smart team, Anderson does point out that Katie had said she would not go for an exemption. And she says that her strategy has changed and she's got to focus on herself over the team now.
Mm-hmm.
And Patrick asks her who she thinks the mole is because he says, I thought you'd be dumb enough to tell me.
She says, I'll be dumb enough to punch
you in the face.
Love that.
Yeah. I'm dumb enough to give you your journal back.
Yeah. Love that.
Yeah. Wild.
Yeah.
So the smart team gets all five answers correct, which means Dorothy, Bill, and Myra, or sorry, Dorothy, Bill, and Rob, all get exemptions. Bill is the numbers and math guy. Dorothy is the word person, and Rob is all over the place.
I think Rob must have been elected to the smart team because he like questions it himself. He's like, I'm kind of just all over the place. They must have elected him, Jess, because they saw him turning his body into an eating vessel for the birds in the Venetian Square in the plaza.
Oh, God. That's so gross.
He lies down in the middle of the plaza at one point.
That's a thing people do.
And the birds just feast off of him. Like that's really my food observation of the episode is the bird feed that Rob had all over his body, like Samantha with the sushi in the Sex and the City movie. As they're just like the California hand roll, as they're just eating the bird feed off of his body.
Yeah, no, you usually people just put it in their hands and sometimes on their head a little bit. And this is. You're not supposed to do that. I have seen people do that. I hate that whole thing. Like it's such a beautiful square and it's ruined by 9 million flying rats perching on people and getting in their faces. And I hate it so much.
Yeah. To quote a very wise person, farts. I don't want to watch farts. This.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cosine.
Let me see Dorothy and Katie in their room. They're now rooming together. Hopefully they've gotten over the previous betrayal of Dorothy luring Katie into the room to get an exemption. Katie discovers that pages are missing from her journal. Patrick borrowed it and then ripped the pages out of the journal.
Yes.
Which is the big scandal of the episode. And so the next day he like comes and sits down at the table and is like, yeah, well, I didn't do anything against the rules. I'm not going to pretend I didn't do it, but I didn't. He's like, I knowingly did what I did, but I didn't knowingly violate the rules.
He kind of did.
Like, I mean, he literally did.
That 100% is against the rules.
I don't know how he could think that was not against the rules. And they say to him, they're like, you can't have any information outside of your own journal. And Katie's journal is not your journal anymore. Yeah.
That's airtight, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He asked. He asked. And Anderson's like, no, you can't take it back.
Yeah. You wanted to like burn it. He's like, can we destroy the journals?
Yeah.
No.
Can I borrow the book and then steal pages from the book?
Extract pages from it?
Yeah.
No.
I don't like this.
I kind of feel like you shouldn't have even been able to borrow it back and copy things out of it.
Yeah.
Like, that's already sketchy.
Well, it wasn't allowed. Because on top of he's about to be executed, this dude is about to get
executed. But on his way out, he's going to take $5,000 out of the pot. He's going to rip
$5,000 out of the book.
And see, this is how they know that everybody here is bad at this game. Because I think if this was a season where everybody was good at the game, they would have taken way more out of the pot for that.
Yeah, I think it's probably true.
Yeah, it's a huge breach of the rules.
Because now you get into the territory where it's like a speeding ticket. It's like, oh, that's how much it costs? Okay. Well, now I'm okay with paying that fine to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. How much is that information worth to you? Because like once you have the information, they can't take that away. Now you know the information.
What's the more appropriate punishment here? Is it like you're kicked out of the game? I mean, like, that seems extreme, too. So, like, what's the middle ground here?
I think you take more money out. I think it's like $20,000 or something.
Like, you lose everything that you earned in this episode.
It's like the old Amazing Race pit stops where you lose all your money and your luggage.
Yeah.
You don't lose all the money out of the pot, but like you lose all your luggage or something. Yeah. You don't get a journal. That's what it is. You don't get a journal.
You don't get one. Yeah.
The greatest punishment you could give to Patrick.
Yeah.
And he says,
people are mad about this.
Our favorite quote, within the rules of engagement, I will lie, use guile, deceit, whatever I can to continue on in the game. And that's not a confessional. He says that to his fellow players sitting at the table.
Yeah, let's just hear that again. He will use guile. And this is what happens. He uses guile here. Sonic boom! Sonic boom! Sonic boom!
Yoga fire!
Sonic boom! I'm just spamming Sonic boom here.
You only know one move, man.
Yeah, Sonic backbreaker. Yeah, that's pretty good.
And it doesn't work out for him.
He does the upside down kick. I totally did end up watching a few minutes of The Mole to Guile's theme afterwards. I muted it on Netflix and just played Guile's theme.
Okay, now I want someone to take the opening credits and like with the Andy Koops explaining the game, I want the people to put that behind it.
Yeah, I think that would be great too. Maybe Patrick was Guile once upon a time. Like he's a retired Guile.
That would explain a lot about his views on Cuba.
Yeah, that would. I think that would explain a lot about Patrick, to be completely honest with you.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Anyway. He wanted to minimize the damage that was done to his intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he had to extract the pages from Katie's journal.
Yeah, that's fair.
And Darwin is saying, you know, you can't play the game that way because then people won't like you. And Heather says he's alienating people. She, in particular, seems very pissed off.
Yes.
Which is a good time to remember that Heather and Katie have had a coalition since day one. So maybe that is impacting Heather's opinion more than other people.
Correct. They'll tell Patrick, you've got no chance to win the game now. He goes, oh, I agree. And then, like, they really has no chance to win the game because he's about to lose.
Yeah, he is about to lose.
Yeah. But like there's, you know, the quiz goes through. I don't know if there's anything that's like supremely of note in the quiz process. I didn't really jot anything down personally.
I did have one.
Okay.
Who the hell starts deep navy blue as their favorite color?
Yeah, that's very specific. Deep navy blue?
Yeah. Oh, no. This navy blue is a little too washed out for me. I need this deep navy
blue. Yeah. Honestly, that navy blue, like, very attractive, but kind of shallow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like it's such a basic navy blue. I need something with a little bit more depth to it.
Like that navy blue, Zed, I can't talk to that navy blue. Like it gets awkward after 5 minutes. Small talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was Al, because when they're in the car and he's talking about you're going to get dead air from me, he's like, you want to know my favorite color? I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Deep navy blue.
Deep navy blue. His congratulations hat was deep navy blue.
No, Mets it's more of a royal
is
blue.
Mets blue a deep navy blue?
No, Yankees blue is a deep navy blue.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
So maybe Patrick's favorite color is deep navy blue. He's the one in the Yankees hat.
Yeah. That explains a lot. Like that explains how he went like full Dark Patrick this episode.
Dark Patrick. Yeah.
He's like the Kermit meme. Like Patrick is the other side of the Kermit meme.
And then the classic Kermit is Bill because they're both Charlie.
Yes. Yeah. Two sides of the same Charlie.
Only one Charlie can remain.
Yeah, only one. They're going to
live
one.
While the other survives.
The execution is so brutal. This is so brutal. Anderson, first of all, being like, so of course pages were removed. That's a violation of the rules. We're taking $5,000 from the pot, even though this guy's about to be executed.
Yeah.
So we'll just like make sure to like really hammer that home. And then Zed, they like really stretch out the execution process, I think in a way that I've never seen the show do before.
They have like six other people before they get to Patrick.
My heart was in my throat. It is six full people. Only Patrick and Al are left, I believe, because the other three are exempt. And like, as we're going down the line, when it gets to Katie, and Katie is like the penultimate person, I'm like, no. I literally said out loud, I typed it in my notes. I said, literally said no out loud. Uh-huh. And she registers as green. I'm like, oh my God, what are they doing? And then I was like, I don't want it to be Patrick or Al either, because Patrick is like, he's like this horrifying antagonist now that I kind of want to see going. And I like Al a lot. Like he brings a lot to the show. So when it was Patrick, like when it was down to like these three, I was like, oh no, I don't want any of them to go right now. And I guess of those three, I'll take Patrick. But this was a nail biter. This is really tough.
Yeah.
And he burned $5,000 on his way out the door.
Yep.
He should have like literally burned it in front of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
It should have been ripped out of the pot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Taking this out of the pot, and I'm just gonna yeet it.
Yeah.
Into the sun.
Into the sun.
And in his exit package, like the last thing that we see is him giving a toast where he says something in Latin, and he says, and that means, while we live, let us live. Which is like after the episode is like shat on him for like 40 straight minutes. Yeah. In the last 2 minutes, they're like, here, let us give him a poignant moment now that you all hate him and are glad to see the back of it.
While we live, let us live.
Except everybody, like that, I don't know who it was, the kind of off camera, they say, well said, man. Yeah. And I thought it was just in this, it felt condescending and like they're sort of making fun of him. Yeah, well said.
Yeah, well said, guy. Yeah. Wow.
Okay, Latin, cool.
Trashing this guy. Yeah. Eviscerated on his way out of the mole.
So that's Patrick.
Yeah.
Josh, how'd that pizza look?
It looked fine. It looked totally fine. I would have eaten it. Hot take. I don't love the pizza in Italy.
Same.
Whoa.
I don't think I've like. There's a couple pizzas in Italy that I've had that I really enjoyed, but every time I've been in Italy, said this man of opulence here. My God, let me be the one to call that out. Go pasta over pizza, and this is coming from pizza guy. Unless, depending on where you are, have not like gone to like the pizza mecca parts of Italy, but like just because you're in Italy, it doesn't mean that all the pizzas will be on fire. It's not
in Venice. It's probably gonna suck.
It's probably not going to be good. You're in Disneyland, you know, is effectively where you are there.
I will say I was in Italy in the summer of 2000, and they had something there that we didn't know about in the U.S. And I was crazy about it. It was this thing called a panini. Mm. Right now, everybody has a panini, right?
Yeah.
But I was like, wow, it's like a grilled cheese sandwich.
It's a panini.
Better. Yeah. So I ate paninis all through Italy, and I thought I was so cultured.
Yeah. Great sandwiches. Sandwich game is great. Pastas are great.
Yep.
Pizzas are going to be hit or miss.
Mm-hmm.
I've had more bad pizza in Italy than good pizza.
Yeah.
Because the crust is so thin? Because that was my experience with pizza in Italy. And I like the thin crust, but it was like soggy thin.
But like soggy thin and like, you know, sort of like the soft style, like that's like characteristic of a Neapolitan pizza, which is, you know, that's great. Like that's part of it. But like, that's not what the pizza is during like the Patrick fight. That's not what's on display. That's just like sort of like we're just getting away with like Hawk and Pizza, yeah, because you were foolish enough to buy it because he thought it was just like good to buy here in Italy.
Now, but this like, is like the pizza that you get when you go to that bar in Brooklyn that gives you a free pizza with your beer.
Crocodile Lounge?
Yes.
I mean, I think that pizza's better. Yes. I'm not going to dump on the Crocodile Lounge pizza.
No, it's delicious.
Alligator Loki Lounge pizza is
oh,
legit.
Gosh, let's go right now.
I really would.
Miss that place. Is it even still open?
I used to do interviews with someone there. Like we would have like a standing appointment monthly and we would go there and we would just like drink beers and eat pizza. And it was fantastic.
Sounds glorious.
Yeah, back in the comic book journalism days where everything was a little bit blurry in terms of the ethical line. anyway,
oh, man.
See you later, Patrick. What a harsh episode. My goodness. So rough.
Yeah,
we did have feedback from Clay who commented on like the Roger like analogy. It was like Roger at least had Butch and Dave on his side. Yeah. Patrick had nobody.
Zero people. Yeah. Like posthumously, Katie is like, I feel bad. But like, that's it. You know, like no one else.
Well, because remember in the first episode, you know, he was like they were holding each other's stuff. He was like, tie your rosary to your shoelace. Yes. Like. They were very close once upon a time.
Once upon a while, yeah.
Hence why she was willing to even lend him his journal.
Yes.
That led to his downfall.
My God, yeah. Unreal. Unbelievable. All right, that's episode 4 of The Mole. I guess I should update where I'm at. Like, Bribs isn't giving me a ton to work with here. I don't think he's the mole, but I've just said that he is. So I just, like, I won't move off of the pick. Let's be fair. Really hard to ignore Dorothy this week. You know, like this very, very sus. Al continues to just be like kind of a person of interest, is constantly in these hot spots. Like I feel like a lot of agency with like choosing like whether or not to open that lock if he is the mole. I think like my gut has it as one of those two with like an outside shot that it's Katie, because I think that would be incredible. So like, I think like in terms of like my top three suspicion right now is like Dorothy at the top, then Al, and then like Katie is fun to put in third. So I've got those three, but I'll stick with the official Pribs because I don't feel like set in the way that I felt set last year. Which is good. That's great. It's fun for me. Like,
yeah,
it's fun when
it switches around. Yeah.
I don't feel locked in, which is good. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I think part of the problem this season is that there's just too damn many people in this cast.
Yes.
And they're all great people. I want to see more of all of them, but there's all episodes where you don't see anybody. Like, we barely saw Bribs. Like, I don't think I've seen Myra since she wore that ridiculous outfit.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. She had like a line this week, I feel like.
She was like, I don't know any of the brain teasers. I can't figure any of them out.
Yeah. I'm a little sus of Heather, but not like majorly, but like she's like probably next up. You know, Olavia, like if only because like she's been a person of interest before, like she would probably go next. I don't have like any real read on Bribs or Rob, to be honest, like either of them, like they're both sort of just there. Like I need a little more from both of them on the show. I don't think that Darwin is, like, if he is, then he's hilarious and very good at this because he's so mad about like exemptions and stuff. And like, he's really making that known. So if he's the mole, like he's, I think, doing a great job of like throwing off the scent. But I don't think it's him. And then, you know, Bill and Myra are undercover Charlie and Bernadette. And that's really where I've got them. Is basically where I've landed there. So I think that's everybody.
That's fair. Yeah.
Accounted for.
Well reasoned.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's where I am.
You want to take a little more feedback before we get into game time? Cool.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So we've got a couple of people called this out, and I'm sure that we don't have an opinion on this either way, but I thought it was funny that more than one person commented on the music of the mole for this week. And so we have a question from Brian who says, I have a question not necessarily about the mole, but many of the scenes in Mole Season 2 made me curious if all early 2000s reality used so much background music, especially rock. The loud, intense guitar riffs when they do the bungee bridge jump in Episode 1 or the Pugil Sticks competition really jars me.
Yeah.
Finished Season 2 and there's almost one loud scene per episode and it's painful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was, they all kind of remind me of like the beginning of Con Air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's like sort of a Jerry Bruckheimer thing going on. Yeah. And like, I can visualize certain like really early Survivor challenges, when they're like rolling the rocks down the hill in Africa, or like some of the ones in Australian Outback where they're definitely like sort of like adventure twangy guitar rock is going on. You know, so certainly in my limited experience with this stuff, like that feels accurate. It feels like something that has like gone away in favor of like now sort of like the epic, like Hans Zimmer-esque score that they're trying to go for. I don't know which I prefer, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, we have a related question actually from Fruit Loops, who says, I'm rewatching the first few episodes of Joe Schmo before listening to the Reality Rewind podcast. Why am I telling you? Because of the pilot.
I hear. Yeah.
Yeah. Because in the pilot, I heard the mole suspense music. And now in episode 3, I just heard Andy Koops Eats a Sandwich, aka Goofy European Escapades. I thought I found two executive producers who worked on both shows, but I can only find one name, David G. Stanley. I did not know that Joe Schmo was a Stone Stanley joint.
David G. Stanley.
Yeah, Stone Stanley Entertainment.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So there you go.
I don't know. Yeah.
Andy Koops Eats a Sandwich as the name of a song.
I feel like you ever buy like an original score to a movie and they have like all the cues are named.
Yeah, very punny.
Yeah. So, I think that's about all we need for feedback.
Yeah. How are you supposed to top that?
I don't know if you can. Andy Koops Eats a Sandwich. I want to like put lyrics to it now.
I will say here at this point, if you are sending in feedback for the Mole Patrol, probably a good idea to start sending your feedback we'll probably miss your episode 5 feedback. But if you get your episode 6 and 7 feedback in on the sooner side, that would be fantastic for some recording scheduling stuff that we are doing on our end. So send that in, molepatrol@robhasawebsite.com, as soon as you can, I guess. We would love to get that up from you if you want to get your feedback on the air. If not, no biggie. We are still having fun as we're chucking through this thing. All right, Jess, do you want to take this opportunity to torture Brooklyn Zed and myself?
That's what I'm here for. It's literally my entire job on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So this week, our quiz questions come from the wonderful AJ Mass, who has taken the opportunity to write you 3 questions all about his favorite show of all time, CBS's own Criminal Minds.
Yeah.
That show has been on since the dawn of time, and they've gotten real weird.
I suspect I suspect we're going to get nothing right here.
Great. Can't wait.
AJ's tough. No, takes no prisoners.
He really does not.
AJ is harsher than this episode was towards Patrick.
That's saying something.
Yeah.
And much like, I guess, the Criminal Minds on the show, he also takes no prisoners.
Yes. Do they not take prisoners on Criminal Minds?
I think sometimes they don't, or sometimes they do, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes they kill them and sometimes they just take them prisoner. Wow. I've never seen the show.
I gotta be honest, I don't really know what are they on Criminal Minds?
I think they are some sort of law enforcement.
Cops, right? Yeah, they're cops.
After reading these episode descriptions, I think they got to be cops.
I'll do just a really quick gander. Just a surface read, Criminal Minds. Yeah, it's an American police procedural crime drama. Criminal profilers of the FBI as members of the BAU, Behavioral Analysis Unit, the BAU.
BAU.
Yeah. Jack Bauer.
I was going to say.
Missing right. Bumplings.
Let's do it.
All right.
Let's do Criminal Minds trivia.
Oh, it's 11 o'clock and I am hungry.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
Is it from Crocodile Lounge?
Let's go. God. I will come all the way down to Brooklyn.
Let's go.
Get there right as they close.
Season 2 finale party at the Crocodile Lounge.
Yes. So
heck yeah.
Let's will that into existence. Please be safe. Okay.
Please still be open.
Yes, let's do this.
All right. So AJ has a note here. He wants you to know that all of the fake episodes feature actors who did guest star in the show, but with totally different things happening to them.
Of course. Of course. So why make this hard? Why make this easy?
Yeah, it's not easy.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
So here we go. Round one. Here's a plot point from season 3. Frankie Muniz appears as a comic book artist having nightmares about a hooded superhero brutally killing werewolves. It turns out the graphic murders he's been drawing are real, and he's actually suppressing any memory of the dozens of people he's slayed.
Hmm.
Oh.
Okay.
So season 4. Garrett Dillahunt plays a quadriplegic psychopath who convinces his simple brother to kidnap hundreds of homeless people from Detroit, smuggle them over the border to Canada, feed them to the pigs on his farm, and keep their shoes as keepsakes.
Okay. Current leader for me of being fake. Obviously, Garrett Dillahunt's on the show because all the guest stars are on the show. But having seen him enough in enough things, including as our beloved John Dory, I don't see like super genius psychopath in the repertoire personally.
Super genius psychopath.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Huh? All right. So here we go. Season 8. James Vanderbeek plays this pair of serial killer twins who were separated at birth, but have no knowledge of each other. One of these brothers has a job as a catering chef and feeds his victims to unsuspecting diners.
100% accurate. Definitely real.
Sweeney Todd.
Yeah,
that's been a thing.
Yes.
All right. Finally, season 10. Ben
the Demon
Savage.
Barber of Vanderbeek Street.
That tracks. Season 10, Ben Savage guest stars as a young Jason Gideon, normally played by Mandy Patinkin, in a flashback episode involving an early case where the bad guy's infatuation with birds caused him to kidnap women, keep them in nests, and feed them worms from his mouth to theirs.
Yeah. Ben Savage's young Mandy Patinkin, I know, is real on Criminal Minds. So that is out. I think I'm locked in on Garrett Dillahunt. Yeah, I'm locked in on like the psychopathic brother. That's it. That's me. That's my choice is number 2.
You feel strongly. I will support you in your strong choice.
Yeah, that's where I'm going.
All right. Well, are incorrect.
What?
The dueling Vanderbeeks. The Vanderbeeks getting the Robert Patrick treatment.
Oh, really?
Here. Yeah, it's fake. I wish it was real. I would watch that one.
What did he do on the show instead?
I do not know. You'd have to ask AJ.
Okay. AJ!
AJ!
Right.
You can ask Josh about this.
Yes. All right, so round 2. Here we go. This episode comes from season 1. Aaron Paul guests as Mike Zizzo, leader of the Lords of Destruction, believed to be a satanic cult. However, he's actually just a goth kid who likes to booze it up and listen to heavy metal while wearing eyeliner, bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, same. Okay.
Hard same. Yeah.
Yeah. It's MOTPD. Yeah.
All right. Season 3. Luke Perry takes on a role as a demented preacher who is ridding the world from sin by picking up hookers and removing their eyes while singing Amazing Grace. It was blind, but now I see.
Okay. No. I'm leaning towards that being fake because Luke Perry would then be doubling up on his holy roles, having played the Reverend Jeremiah Cloutier on Oz for multiple seasons. So unless he did basically that twice.
I don't know, you could play a preacher in more than one show.
Yeah, but I feel like, is Luke Perry doing that twice? I don't know.
Luke Perry did a lot of things, dude.
Oh, man, I loved Luke Perry.
Great.
God, Dylan McKay. Anyway, we'll talk about that another time.
I choose me, Josh.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Season 4.
Antonia, no, look what they did to her, Brandon. Anyway, sorry. It's very upsetting.
All right. Well, this one comes from season 4. Jason Alexander plays a man obsessed with the Fibonacci sequence. The BAU team loses.
Classic, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's all of us.
It's true. Well, the BAU team deduces that the kidnapping he has staged is really a decoy because the number of victims wouldn't match the pattern correctly. I don't know if this is an episode of Criminal Minds or an episode of Odd Squad, because I think I've seen this episode of Odd Squad.
What do you mean you don't know the Fibonacci sequence? Like, this writes itself. Yeah,
it's true. Yeah.
love it.
Okay. And finally, this is a multi-episode arc we're going to talk about. This was several episodes throughout seasons 11 through 15. Aubrey Plaza has a multi-episode arc as Kat Adams, a contract killer who not only kidnaps Spencer's mother, but also claims to have inseminated herself with his semen so she can have his baby.
Whoa.
Well, I know we've gone too far when Zed makes that noise.
Thrown for a little bit of a loop. Do we not like that enough that that is fake? Because my gut instinct got us wrong, got us in trouble last time. My gut instinct right now is like, Luke Perry didn't play like a Reverend Jeremiah Cloutier and then whatever this preacher is. Like, that didn't happen twice.
I mean, I feel like actors can show up and play the exact same part on different shows.
Sure, they can. But I loved Luke Perry. I feel like I would know this, but maybe not. Okay. Maybe I didn't love him enough.
What's your guess, Josh?
My guess is two, but I want to be, I don't want to like bulldoze this in, Zed, if you feel differently, let's
talk. I mean, the last one feels absurd enough to be real. I just don't like it.
Yeah, correct. Yes.
It's two different things.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah. Well, I would go two personally. Okay. I would go Luke Perry is the ruse.
Sure.
Let's get this wrong. Luke Perry.
Let's get this wrong.
I think you're glad you went with your gut, Josh. You're correct.
Jeremiah Cloutier provides. Yeah. Oz spoilers.
You love Luke Perry enough.
Oz spoilers, they put him in a wall. They put him in the wall in the cafeteria. They like covered
understand
him.
What that means.
They, for love they, of God, Montresor.
His followers, who he had scorned, they were very mad at him. Timmy Kirk leads a bunch of them to putting him behind a wall in the cafeteria. Wait, and then they seal up the wall. And then later in that same episode, there's an explosion in the cafeteria. And so he was in there. And so then he is horribly injured. And that's how they find him. And then three episodes into the following season, into season five, I believe, he vanishes without a trace and no one knows what happened to the Reverend Jeremiah Cloutier. And it's kind of like suggested that it was like a miracle that he just like disappeared. It was like sort of like it was like a big metaphor.
Wait, when you said he was a reverend, yeah. I was picturing like a prison chaplain.
He's a prisoner.
But he is a prisoner. He did some bad stuff.
He did like some like tax evasion stuff, I think. And then he goes to jail and he's in over his head and he's like trying to like get everybody like to be better.
But that's the whole premise of like the other guy that was on the show. And Beecher. I guess he's like, yeah, Beecher's no, like,
Beecher,
here,
Beecher, no, Beecher did. Beecher, Beecher did. Beecher killed a kid. It was not good. It was not great.
Yeah, it was not great.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think the Reverend Jeremiah Cloutier killed anybody.
He just did some tax evasion, but not like Al Capone tax evasion.
I think that's right. I'm pretty sure. I may be misrepresenting the Reverend Jeremiah Cloutier in the back half of season four of Oz.
Yeah,
so I don't want to do that.
I've never watched Oz just because I feel like there's a lot of actors in it that I like that will be absolutely ruined for me if I watch it.
It will be changed forever.
Yeah.
100%.
I like J.K. Simmons right now. I like Chris Maloney right now.
You would not be able to look at either of them the same ever again.
I like Mr. Echo right now.
Oh, it's an iconic role, though. Anyway, we don't need to talk about us right now.
All right.
Go listen to the Michael J. Clark pilot season episode where we talked about the pilot of Oz, myself, Emily Fox, and Michael J. Clark.
Okay.
Yeah. It's out there.
It's a good plug. I love that show.
Yes.
All right. So finally, we got our third set of questions. All right. This is an episode from season four. Will Wheaton is a real psycho as the owner of a secluded motel who watches his patrons through secret peepholes before bludgeoning them to death with a baseball bat. His latest target.
That's
is
not
a,
good.
Yeah, that's never good.
No, that's not how you treat your patrons.
No.
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 You don't get a lot of repeat business that way.
No, a lot of drop off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, his latest target is a couple played by teen witch Robin Lively and Ethan Rom from Lost, a.k.a. William McMother.
This is so specific. It's all got to be real.
It comes from the mind of AJ. He gets very specific.
AJ's criminal mind.
Yeah. All right, so this one's from season 5. Real-life rock star Gavin Rossdale shows his acting chops as Dante, a singer in the vein of Alice Cooper who pretends to be a vampire on stage. Oh, in the vein of Alice Cooper. Very cool.
Oh. I got it now.
Yeah. When several of his groupies end up dead with bite marks in their necks and fully exsanguinated, he's the number one suspect and everything is far from zen.
Exsanguinated, a word I've never heard before, but I know exactly what it means.
Yeah, I can see it.
It's a great word.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's a great word.
I guess the two of you didn't read enough Anne Rice when you were young.
I didn't
read We covered this once upon a time. Been about a year since we talked about that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a lot has happened.
Yeah.
But can check out YA covering the Twilight Saga over on the Brochure Recaps Patreon podcast.
Yeah. Find out more about exsanguination. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Call me when you do a podcast about all the stuff that you read when you were a teenager that you really weren't supposed to.
I mean, this is me in TV. This is what I'm doing for a living now. So.
Yeah, it's true.
True. All right. So this episode comes from season 8. For an entire season, Mark Hamill haunts the team by replicating brutal murders from previous seasons, all because he's upset that Alex, played by Jeannie Triplehorn, got the promotion to join the BAU instead of him, and he was forced to move to Kansas City.
Oh boy.
A lukewarm joke at best.
And finally, this one comes from season 12. Robert Englund wakes from a coma after nearly 2 decades. He discovers his whole family has died while he was sleeping, so he attempts to recreate them by abducting lookalikes and turning them into marionettes he can use to reenact his memories.
Oh, my God. And just to underline that that is Freddy Krueger we are talking about. Classic flavor. I have no strong feelings about any of these, Zed, unfortunately. Really none. Just about nothing.
Okay. Nothing. We have the Mark Hamill season-long arc of replicating other killers.
I think that's like, you wouldn't think it if you don't know much about Mark Hamill beyond Luke Skywalker, but like his other most famous role is he is like the best Joker. He does the voice work for the Joker in a lot of the animated Batman stuff and video game Batman stuff. And he's just like, he's a next level voice actor. He does like creepy stuff. He does have like a really funny, creepy turn on like What We Do in the Shadows and in the great Jackie Daytona episode. So like I could picture it and I imagine him being available for a full season arc to some extent. And what season is that, Jess?
8.
Do you know what year that is? Are you able to look that up?
I don't want
to
look that up. 2010s.
Yeah, I want to know.
2005. I will look that up.
Yeah.
2005. So yeah, that's like 2012, 2013-ish.
Okay. Around this time, then, I think he is doing or he's gearing up for some guest starring stuff on The Flash on the CW. So like he is doing some TV stuff. This is pre Force Awakens. That's been announced though at this point. So he should be gearing up for Star Wars. So that actually does complicate things, perhaps. If this is 2013. Can we just get a verification on the year for season 8?
All right. Looking it up now.
Yes, this is important.
Some dead air.
Force Awakens came out in 2015.
Force Awakens is 2015. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
God, I know, this is a long Star Wars thing.
Yeah. Yes, season 8 was September 26th, 2012 to May 22nd, 2013. And I got it right in one.
Okay, so I think like he could have done this. He still could have done this.
Okay.
Yeah, because 2012, they announced Disney has purchased Lucasfilm and that they're going to make these movies, but they have not announced like J.J. Abrams yet. They haven't announced The Force Awakens. They've just the purchase has been made. The reality of there being 3 new Star Wars movies is a thing, but we know nothing about them yet. So he definitely could have been in this.
Okay. Alice Cooper exsanguinated person.
Yeah.
What was the first one?
Will Wheaton and a bunch of other people.
Will Wheaton in Psycho with Robin Lively.
Oh, and yeah. Bludgeoning his hotel visitors.
Yeah.
Boy.
That felt like so detailed. Mm-hmm. But if it's like mix and match stuff, and then like this is just the plot, but like, is this a thing? Could it be like that the plot is real, but like there's different actors being plugged in?
I don't think AJ is that extra.
Okay. So then it like either happened as he said, or it didn't happen at all. He's like plugging this with three actors here.
Right.
Three names.
And what was the last one?
Freddy Krueger is turning people into marionettes.
Oh yeah, he wakes up from a coma and his family is dead.
Zed, is it a trap? Did AJ put a lost person on here so that we wouldn't pick it and we should have picked it? We should pick it. Should it be the first one? He put Ethan Rom on there.
That is very specific.
Yeah.
I know nothing about his career.
Yeah, he does stuff like this.
Uh-huh.
So like, it's definitely in brand, on brand. I don't know.
I don't know.
Can we guess 90?
90?
Yeah.
And what does that mean?
That's what Dorothy did, and she was able to get it.
I see. Yeah. Mistrustfulness?
No. Yeah, is it the answer is mistrustfulness?
The answer is exsanguinated.
This has definitely been a stressful minute, more so than a minute.
Yeah, many minutes.
I will say that it's. I'll go with the first one.
The first one. The
Zed?
Psycho Will Wheaton.
Sure.
Yeah,
let's do
it. Why not? I have no better thing. The Star Wars one was a good bet, but like I think the timing isn't quite right. Let's go with number one.
All right, well, you're wrong again. It was Robert Englund, a.k.a. Freddy Krueger.
Okay, whatever, sure.
From AJ's mind.
All right, okay.
Listen, we got one.
Yep, you got
that's
one.
That's all we can really ask.
That's great. That's great. I'm impressed. I'm surprised we got one. That was good.
Yeah. And then
should have been 0 for 3.
Yeah, you're going to really like what we've got cooked up for you next week.
Uh-oh, okay, ooh, cool.
It's good stuff.
Good tease. All right, we'll be back next week with more Mole Patrol. Hopefully Zed and I are going to be able to do some damage. I would love to get like a majority share on one of these weeks, Zed.
Two whole questions correct.
Yeah. I think we're going to do it. I do. I really think so. I think it's likely. I'm feeling good. We have like a whole walloping 3 points so far. It's so I much better so. Than I expected. So
you're
much
doing
better.
Great.
Yeah.
Hanging 3 out of 12.
Oh my god.
250.
Oh my god. All right, let's wrap this thing up. We've got another show coming your way next week. Get your feedback in. As we said, molepatrol@robhasawebsite.com. Get that in on the sooner side. If you're going to get that in for episode 5, you got to do it right now. Otherwise, we're not going to get it on in time for the podcast. So get your 5, 6, and 7 feedback in on the sooner side is what we would recommend. Brooklyn said, what you got going on right now?
Not a whole lot because my co-host went on vacation.
What was that?
Jerk.
So you and I do Final Fantasy podcasting. Those episodes drop on Saturday. We will be back this week. I just finished playing through our chapters for this week's episode of the Final Fantasy VII Remake podcast. Sundays and some Tuesdays, you can catch me over at twitch.tv/DMPhilly playing Dungeons and Dragons in space. And on Sundays, we play a game called City of Mist, just another role-playing game. I believe this weekend I'm going to be on Hold Up with our friend Grace Leader. Talking about a movie that I like very much that it hopefully holds up because I haven't watched it in a long time. So we'll see. You can catch me over there at Hold Up Pod, wherever you get your podcasts. And I think that's what I'm up to these days.
Jess, you are counting down the days until
it's almost
The Walking
August.
Dead returns for season 11, final season.
God, I've got over a month before I have to do anything of consequence, Josh. Please let me live in this little fantasy world where I have no responsibilities apart from my actual day job and my child and stuff.
Yeah, teaching him Ryu's moves, all the various Street Fighter special activities that one can do when you are playing that game.
I think our weekend project is going to be to unpack the PlayStation that we have in a closet somewhere. And we have not only
classic
we have a
model.
It's a no, I think we have a PS2. We might also have a PS3.
OK, sweet.
Yeah. And
speaking my language.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have, not only do we have a Street Fighter cartridge, but we have a Sonic the Hedgehog cartridge.
Whoa.
And nice. We have recently watched the movie and he was very impressed with it. So I think we're going to be playing a lot of Sonic.
My Cute. Goodness. Love Sonic almost as much as Sonic himself loves chili dogs.
Is that his thing?
So
in the cartoon, it was. All right, Zed's hungry. We're going to go. We're going to wrap it here. Super, super fun episode of Mole Patrol. We are back. We'll be back next week talking episode 5. Until then, everybody, take care. Bye-bye. Mole Patrol.